Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
And I got my new name tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's called Nostradamus.
Tony the Psychic Pentacal.
Tell Tom I'm taking it from him.
First, you make fun of Tom for contradicting himself for a psychic, and then you steal his full thunder. Yeah, we're obviously referring to Tony's spot-on prediction for the Floyd Mayweather fight. Actually, predicted two of the three scorecards, but actually,
even my dad had it wrong.
Yeah,
my dad predicted Guerrero to win by the third round.
Nah, but saying something else. You got the score correct, which is unbelievable. Have it on two cards.
my dad thought Floyd would stop him in around 6-7 rounds, and I said, I don't see it happening. I think he's going to pot shot him, and he's going to, but he's not going to put him out. And I didn't see it, but I mean, I don't think he even came close to putting him down or out.
No. They both had each other's sort of hurt at different times, but nothing serious, nothing where there would even be a standing eight count. I don't think actually the standing eight count rule was in effect at all. But we have the old psychic Tom here.
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening.
I got
to tell you, Tony, you're going to be getting a call probably early next week from someone named Miss Cleo, okay? Masterful performance. And I've already told everyone tuning in that listens that, you do this with the robe. You know, you got the big head thing and the crystal ball, Oh, man. Home run, buddy. Grand slam. Wow.
Hold on one second. I'm trying to get my dog to come in the house. He's looking at me.
Even the exact rounds, the exact rounds, except we had, 118, I believe. But how about that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I never saw a scenario where Floyd would stop him. I saw scenarios where he would just pot shot him.
I was surprised. I thought Guerrero would have done better.
Did I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. I saw no scenarios where Mayweather would stop him, but I just saw him using Guerrero's aggressiveness against him.
And unfortunately, it wasn't the type of back and forth fight that is really great for boxing, but at the same time, it really shows you how good Floyd is. Number one, because he was, if you believe him, he was fighting with one hand for most of the fight. And number two, he never looked like he was worried at all. Always looked like he was very composed and, not really concerned about which way the fight was going to go. He seemed to have a little bit of difficulty early, kind of adjusting to Guerrero's style, but once that happened, he was fine. And he's pretty much saying now that's it after this Showtime contract is up, too. That's another development that we found out. His he continues to
win. 5 more on the Showtime contract, so we'll see. Who do you think he's got next?
I don't know. That's a tough question. They're gunning for Canelo Alvarez as far as the media goes, but I don't think Floyd's going to sign that fight because Golden Boy is the same banner that he fights under a lot, and I just don't see him trying for that fight. Plus, Canelo has been going up in weight a lot. I don't think he's going to want to fight somebody not at welterweight, even though Canelo could probably come down again. But I don't see that fight happening anytime soon. Although, probably sooner the better for Mayweather, because if the guy gets any better, it's going to be a tough fight. I don't know, but I just don't see that one happening.
Well, I want to get your guys' comments on the fan reaction to this, because it was, and I was checking out everything, not only from the underground and some of the boxing forums, but going to Yahoo to try to get a feel for the more casual fans. And it seems like we really have two camps here. And on the one hand, no one's denying Floyd's skill and the fact that he won the fight going away in his talent. But there was this undercurrent of he could have tried harder. He could have stopped him. He could have done more. And then there's, of course, the people that really understand the game, that really appreciated his defense, his technique, and wasn't his fault that the fight was boring. So what do you guys think?
Well, if he had a broken hand, that's heroic, basically, you know, that he was able to do that much and maintain control to the last round. So I don't know what exactly happened to his hand, but you could see it was swollen when he took it out of the glove after the fight. So I doubt it's going to be a serious break, but it's something where every time he threw it, it hurt, obviously.
I do think this has been building for a while also, that, you know, that has been the rap on him. Even Bob Arum one time was off on a rant about how he wouldn't engage, and I think that there's just been that tone, and, you know, you can kind of see both sides of it. I mean, he was so far ahead, and said with the hand does change the equation, but if he's that far ahead, why risk getting hit with a lucky shot? I mean, if he's just piling up the points, why not win that way?
Well, the other thing, too, is that's his game, and his father even credited his father for making him more defensive. He was already a bit defensive to begin with, but that was a fight where Guerrero was always going to be the one setting the pace as far as, you know, doing whatever he did was going to make Floyd do a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened was Guerrero was busy at first, and then he started doing those pawing jabs, you know, where you either throw one out there not even intending to hit the guy, or you throw it just wanting to tap the guy, kind of like the Diaz brothers do a lot in MMA. And he stopped actually throwing those jabs hard or to land. And that threw off the rest of his whole game, and Floyd just took advantage of that. And he let him hit him with those little pitter-pat shots, and that was enough for him to sit there and wait and for his right opportunity and throw just as many right hands as he could at that point, I guess. But I thought if Guerrero threw a few more punches and was a little busier, he could have made that fight closer. But at some point in that fight, he just got frustrated. I think he stopped really trying to score points.
Yeah, I guess it has to be frustrating if you know you're just going to be hitting air when you punch. So it's a great problem to have if you're in Mayweather's corner, what you do. But, I mean, like as far as the next opponent, I don't know, that's a tough call.
Well, being a defensive fighter from my boxing days, I sort of fought a lot to that with too. I mean, why waste all your energy if you can just punch as many times as you absolutely have to, and, you know, a defensive fighter is going to go off the counter anyway. So it just never made sense to me to kind of go all out when my strength to begin with was to look for the punches coming, dodge them or block them, and then throw back.
Which is very hard to do. That's the hardest part. And I think we can all agree on that.
Once you're in that habit, too, of fighting that way, it's very hard to fight a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, once a boxer, always a boxer. Once a brawler, always a brawler in some sense. But sometimes you have to mix it up. And Floyd might have mixed it up if he didn't have the busted hand. But I guess we'll never know.
didn't get. I was following it online. I didn't get to see the fight live. I had just gotten back from being down in South Philly that day. So by the time I got home, the fight was just about to start, the main event. So I was following it on two different websites, and the one website I was following it, as I come to find out later, it was a guy on Facebook who's a Mayweather hater. Thanks, Mayweather. So at the first round, you know, it's like, okay, Guerrero's being more aggressive, but Mayweather's doing that. I give this round to Guerrero. So after six rounds, it was like 4-2 Guerrero. And then I guess he finally had Mayweather winning, but something like the rounds were like 7-5, 115, 113, which is pretty damn close. I'm following another website, which are more Mayweather supporters. They had it I think it was 119-109. And I was like, well, no, look about the swing of momentum you got there. That's a swing of momentum of about four rounds. And but then I finally read more and more and more that it was pretty much in line with the way the judges had it. You know, Guerrero was aggressive some rounds. He brought the fight to him some rounds. But the fact of the matter is he was outworked and outscored. Maybe not outworked as much, but definitely outscored.
Still hear me?
Yeah, I can still hear you. What happened?
Oh, I had to take a phone call there. Sorry.
Okay.
Interrupted my radio show, people. I don't know. Anyway, what was, did somebody ask me a question and I just didn't answer?
Yeah, I'll ask you one. Who doesn't know you have this show from 8 to 10 that knows you, huh? Who doesn't know your home phone is off limits? That's my question.
This person actually left me a message saying that's why, because they knew I had a show. But
I actually had someone call me like a year or so ago, and I was like, oh, why didn't you answer your call? Because I'm doing my show, idiot. Oh, well, that's right, it is Thursday, isn't it?
I forgot to mention earlier on, but tonight's guest at 8:30, we have two guests. The first one is Glenn the Road Warrior Johnson. He's so good, he has two nicknames, actually. They also call him Gentleman Glenn Johnson. His record is 52-18-2, and he's got 36 knockouts to his credit, and only been knocked out once by, guess who?
Bernard Hopkins.
The 11th round of a 12-round fight,
yes.
Too. So
I've never watched that fight live.
He was in one round of never being knocked out in his whole career.
That's why it's Bernard. If you ever go back and watch it, Bernard was on his game. I think it was like maybe his third title defense, maybe his fourth title defense, and he was really, really on his game. And I remember the doctor coming to the corner after like every round, after like his eighth round, telling him he was going to stop the fight.
Well, Glenn, I thought he retired. But it seems like he's got a few more fights here on his record, including his last fight, which was last month in April. I didn't even know he was still fighting at all. But
I didn't know that, because you remember after his last fight on Friday Night Fights in Chicago, when he lost the decision, he pretty much said that was going to be it for him.
Right, he fought two more times since then. He fought an undefeated guy, George Groves, 15-0, in December of last year. Lost the unanimous decision there. Then he fought a guy, Junior Ramos, who was 10-7 in the Dominican Republic. Went all the way to the Dominican Republic. He fought the other guy in London, too. And he got the TKO win in his last fight there in the Dominican Republic. So he's still fighting. I don't know if that's officially his last fight because he wanted to get a win in his career or what's going to happen. But he has mentioned to me in our email conversations that he's an actor now, and he's interested in transitioning into the acting industry, commercial magazines, color commentary as well. Somebody will be able to listen to our interview with him sometime to gauge whether he's going to be good at color commentary, because he also wants me to send him a CD of the interview, so that's a first.
Cool.
His portfolio. We're going to be part of that, hopefully. Anyway, we do have a ton of little snippets here that I wanted to try to get through. I don't think we'll get through everything, but one of the big stories this week that's been a lot, in the news a lot, this Hands of Stone movie with it's going to be featuring the story of the Sugar Ray Leonard Nomad fight with name. Why am I drawing a blank? Roberto Duran. And Usher is going to be playing. Speaking of a guy who's not usually known as an actor, because he has acted in certain movies, but Usher will be playing the role of Sugar Ray Leonard.
Oh, yeah. Boy, it's just amazing how that still has reverberations. You know, has legs with it. Guess we'll never quit talking about it.
Right. And yes. Usher has to lose 25 pounds before shooting begins in October. I don't see where he can lose it. He's a pretty skinny guy to begin with, but
that's
the deal. He's going to really know what boxing is about. I mean, he has to lose that much weight. But he says, Sugar Ray Leonard says, you couldn't find a more stylized, well, Usher says, you couldn't find a more stylized boxer than Sugar Ray Leonard. He was an incredible motion guy, the way he moved around the ring, and I think my dancing will make it easier for me to pick up his moves. I've been working on familiarizing myself with the ring, sparring, and just understanding how to move in the ring. And the cast also includes Robert De Niro, as I mentioned in the previous show, and he's going to be Duran's Hall of Fame trainer, Ray Arsal. Edgar Ramirez, who was recently in Zero Dark Thirty, will play Duran. And the movie also includes the brawl in Montreal, which was the first fight between Duran and Leonard, and the Nomas fight, which took place in New Orleans. So, there you have it.
You know, it'll be interesting to see what kind of a slant they give on the reasons Duran did that. I mean, I have my opinion, but it'll be just fascinating to see how that goes. See if they give much credence to the stomach ache and, you know, all the food that he ate before the fight and all that stuff, or if they'll delve into his mental state and, you know, how that'll go. I'll be anxious to see how that plays out.
I think a lot of it was the fact that, you know, he got his pride hurt, you know? He was being made a fool of out there, and sometimes, you know, that hurts more than it does physically.
Exactly, because no one ever mocked him, ever. I mean, he may have come up short a few times. Well, let's see, going in, I think he'd only lost to DeJesus back in 72.
Right, when he did the
Hermes. Yeah, and I think. It's just my take on this, but I think it was kind of a snap decision, and I think at some level he realized that if he quit, it would obscure a lot of Leonard's efforts. And sure, you know, in other words, the news wouldn't be that Leonard performed flawlessly and got into Duran's head and outside Duran and made him quit. Leonard wouldn't get the credit. It would be Duran quits. And I remember the next day in the L.A. Times, the headline in the sports page, Duran quits. And it's like, my God, wait a minute. You know, even though I was a huge Duran fan and had money on Duran in that fight, let's give Leonard some credit. I mean, he did something that no one ever did before or since. And if I'd ever get a chance to talk to Leonard, I'd have to congratulate him on how he handled, first off, how he handled the defeat in Montreal. He was nothing but class. And I don't know if I could have done that if someone had just flipped off my wife. I mean, come on. But Leonard would have had to been frustrated about, damn you guys, give me some credit for this. Look what I did. I didn't knock him out. I did something worse. I made him quit. The ultimate macho man. That's my take on it.
Obviously on a much smaller level, about 10 years later, it was on a Mike Tyson undercard, Duran was fighting the guy, Irish Pat Lawler, who I actually saw fight in person about 10 years later, eight or 9 years later. And he was a close fighter at best. But it was one of the fights where, you know, he's fighting Duran, and Duran hurts his shoulder. And they go in, and I forget if it was on the stool or in mid-round, but, like, Duran was holding his shoulder, and they were like, and they were calling it No Mouth Part 2. But at the same time, once again, that was, I mean, not that Lawler was fighting great or anything, but it was, like, on the same level where it's like Duran was the story here, even though he was flabby, he was out of shape, he didn't look good in this fight. That was the story. Oh, my God, Duran quits again, No Mouth 2. And anything Lawler did on that occasion was just completely glossed over. But you're right, and especially there when this was a young Roberto Duran, a feared Roberto Duran, you know.
Right, right.
A super smart Roberto Duran. And then he just walked out there and said, you know what, no way, I'm done.
I gotta protect my ego. Exactly. And in fact, I would go as far as to say that in the Lawler fight, I don't know what was. I'm not a doctor. I didn't read all the medical stuff on Duran's shoulder. But I would be more inclined to think that there may have been something there to that than I would be about the fact that he had what a bunch of steak and pancake or something, some idiotic meal before the Leonard rematch. My take on it.
Well, got to move on here. We have a couple other stories to talk about before 8:30. This big one here, I don't know if you guys caught it, probably not. It wasn't on any big networks, but Ricardo Mayorga won his MMA debut down in Nicaragua.
Oh, wow.
And, no surprise, it was a very controversial win. Ricardo was not only smoking cigarettes backstage at the weigh-in, he also came in 25 pounds overweight, I believe, or at least 20 pounds overweight. But, of course, you know, being the main event of the fight and being in Nicaragua, they smoothed it over. They let him fight anyway. Then on top of all this, he won the fight just after kneeing his opponent in the spine. And I'll admit the referee had a tough angle on it to be able to see what happened. But you can clearly see it in the video that I've watched. And he wasn't doing all that bad, but he really did look like a fish out of water on the ground. So he was having a tough time kind of rolling around every time he got taken down. But he held on quite a bit, and he didn't look like he was supposed to get knocked out on the ground. It's just he just doesn't have the training that some of these guys have.
What weight division is he supposed to be in? Obviously 25 pounds too much. What did he come in at, like his light heavyweight or what?
He came in at like 170, and he's supposed to be fighting like 150. I don't know what weight classes they're using down there. It's obviously different than up here than what we're used to. But,
okay.
I think he was smoking cigarettes backstage just minutes before the fight.
He's his own guy. I mean, that is a man that lives life on his own rules, his own terms. Wow. I mean, what can I add, you know? What can I add? Except it should be entertaining.
And going to MMA, we have the list of 17 female fighters that are reportedly going to make the cut for the Ultimate Fighter 18. And this is not a real official list. This comes from Dave Meltzer, who has broken a few stories before. He actually stole some of my intel on Zions at one point and broke that story, stole it right out from under me once about their bankruptcy and take over by the Fertittas, but he wasn't as big as he is now back then. But anyway, Tough is also going to feature 16 male fighters, but the list that Meltzer put out includes Marsha Allen, Shayna Baszler, Revelina Burko, who is, I believe, the sister or niece of, Andre Berto. Daughter of Edson Berto, I think. Anyway, I'll have to look that up, make sure I didn't get that wrong. Justin Manduk, Ashley Evans-Smith, Tanya Ebinger, Tara LaRosa, Valerie Laterno, Leah Matafa, Gina Mazzini, Roxanne Modafferi, Peggy Morgan, Juliana Pena, Raquel Pennington, Bethany Marshall, Katie Merrill, and Colleen Schneider. And apparently there was something about Tara LaRosa. So there's only 16 women are expected to make it, and that's a list of including her. And there was apparently a 35-year-old cut for age. So she might not make it because of her age, believe it or not. But
oh, you know, in this era of no isms and political correctness, we got a little discrimination thing going on here, huh? Oh,
yeah,
boy.
So I don't know what that's all about, but I would think that, you know, to make the cut, you have to fight to get in the House again. I don't see them getting rid of that. So she must have won her fight, and then they told her that she couldn't come in because of the weight. If that's what happened, that would be ridiculous. But I don't know what's going on with that. That's an unofficial list anyway, so you can't really take too much stock in it. And here's a little boxing and MMA story about somebody you guys were just talking about, Mike Tyson. He has revealed how he would love to take on a commentary role in either boxing or mixed martial arts, but he insists that mixed martial artists care more than their flashy counterparts. He's basically come out and said that the current generation of boxers are more interested in fame and celebrity than carving out a memorable career. And in his eyes, mixed martial artists are inspiring the next generation of fight fans. He says, it has to be a passion. That's the problem with boxing. There's no passion. People want to be record producers, rappers. In MMA, you see that passion. George St. Pierre, that's all he wants to do. That's why he's so successful. I think there's room in both sports, room for both sports, but boxing just has too many black eyes. It doesn't have a good image. In MMA, even though people are fighting, they have a good image. Very few of them get into tragic troubles where they're beating people up and stuff. I love MMA and love boxing, but I'm always watching the MMA stuff. With boxing, you don't know if the guy's going to get a good decision, you know. In the UFC, there's the Ultimate Fighter House. You cultivate the fighters spiritually, work with them. It's a team effort. In boxing, it's like, the hell with you. The fighters dislike everybody. The MMA fighters are killing each other and their friends. And, of course, Tyson is touring America as part of the one-man stage show labeled Mike Tyson Undisputed Truth. He definitely wants to do a commentator role with MMA or boxing, though. He says, I would also work in boxing if I could get a chance to clean it up, get it organized and government operated. It has to be. Look at the atrocities that happened in the history of boxing. I look at MMA totally differently from how the fans look at it. I look at people overcoming adversities. Most guys being knocked out the way Cain was against Junior Dos Santos would have lost all their spirit. He could have come back for a payday and gotten knocked out in one round. Instead, he examined his loss and changed the outcome. Tyson was actually also on the Fox News Sunday show as the Power Player of the Week, believe it or not, with Chris Wallace. So if you guys look up the Power Player of the Week, Fox News, you'll enjoy that interview, I'm sure. So check that out. Let's see what else we have. Manny Pacquiao has chosen his next opponent. It's going to be Brandon Rios. And it's going to be, like I said, the last show in Macau, China. And it's going to be November 24th. The fighters have both agreed to terms, and the contracts are being finalized. So, it should be a fight. And like I said last week, the main reason why they're going to do it in Macau, taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, taxes. And here's another quick story before we get to our guest. Shane Carwin is officially retired, so we'll never get to see his Ultimate Fighter coach fight with Roy Nelson, unfortunately. No reason given as far as I could see, but he has had some battles with some injuries over the years. He's came into the UFC with an undefeated record and lost a couple fights on the way. So he leaves with a record of 12-2, and he got all his victories by knockout or submission. And he had a 4-2 record in the UFC. He retires at the age of 38.
Yeah, lots of comments on Yahoo about possible that steroid connection, but I never really knew if there's anything to that. But a whole lot of gossip. But for the most part, everyone's really missing him. I mean, he seemed like such a class act. I was a big fan. I hate to see him go.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't heard any of those rumors myself, but I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I've seen a lot of it. A lot of accusations being thrown around. A lot of people saying that like 80% of the people that do MMA right now are doing some kind of banned substance or under the radar stuff. So it would not surprise me at all if that was true. But we got to get Glenn Johnson connected. So let's see if we can do that now. The Rogue Warrior.
Forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3057332123 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, Glenn, this is Rebel Rousing Rich Bergeron here with the Fight News Unlimited Combat Sports Show. We're supposed to have an interview with you going on right now. I know my phone number probably comes up pretty screwy. Like it's a computer calling because I'm on a computer. But if you can call in to us, the number is 347-324-3228. Otherwise, we will try you back in about 5 minutes. All right, so hopefully that doesn't fall through there, but Glenn Johnson. I was trying to say we're going to have Dennis Maurice on at the 9:30 hour, and probably a couple other people from the Battle of the Badges franchise there. Where they're going to do it Corrections Officers versus Corrections Officers this time on May 18th down at Foxwoods in Connecticut. And it's going to be a pretty decent show, like it always is. Going to benefit a company called Work Vessels for Veterans. I'll let Dennis kind of go into more detail on that. But it's been a while since he's been on the show plugging something, over a year anyway, because it was the last time we had a big event down there. But he does a lot of work. He's doesn't always get the credit, so it's always good to have him on the show. He does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and cares about this thing, you know, a lot. Does a lot of work without a lot of pay, so I always like to give him a free microphone. And he always likes to take it and run with it.
And Dennis is the show guy that I have in concert with when you get me Marciano stuff.
Right, yeah. He's a big Rocky Marciano guy. He cared a lot about that project, the foundation there, but ran into some issues with the family being the family. But you know, he still loves Rocky. I was never got a chance to ask him why I didn't see him at the memorial. That was probably one of the things.
I know. I was wondering how I saw.
Where he probably had too many bad feelings about his treatment there with the foundation. But anyway, he's going to be coming on a little bit later. In the meantime, while we're waiting to give a call back to Glenn, we have a story about UFC fighter gloves. The UFC is actually dealing with a lot of backlash over these eye pokes stopping fights because of the gloves. So, as I talked about last week, some fighters mentioned that they ought to have a curved design. Now, Dana White came out on ESPN Radio in LA yesterday and said that we actually have started to work on a new glove that actually curves your hand. Like, the glove is curved like a U, so you can open your hand, but your fingers don't point straight out. So, White says it's still in the early stages, but it actually sounds like a pretty good idea. It would have to be approved by athletic commissions, and it might take fighters a while to get used to them if they are brought in. But either way, it's good that the UFC is trying to be proactive.
Exactly.
So it is what it is there, but we'll see what happens. The main problem with the gloves as they are, as I mentioned last week, the fighters have complained that once they get them, they're very stiff. So they've developed a policy where the fighters get them the night before so they can kind of work them in and let them get a little bend to them. But at the same time, you know, even when they're loose, they keep your fingers pointed straight out. So the idea is you want them curled in so that you don't have so many pokes in the eye. So we'll see if that works. I don't know if it's going to make it more difficult to grapple, but I would think it would make it easier to, like, catch a kick or something because your hand's already kind of cupped to grab something, or a leg or an arm. So, I don't know. It has to be the perfect balance between flexibility of the fingers and, keeping them from being poking weapons.
Well, like you said, though, Rich, it was to the point where something had to be done. So at least they're going in the right direction, and we just have to hope that that they find the balance.
Right. And the other story I have waiting in the wings here, there's a pretty interesting interview on the Huffington Post, of all places, with Floyd Mayweather talking about his whole fight scene there. And this is a post-fight deal from after his fight with Guerrero. Yeah, couple pretty interesting answers here. He talks a little bit more flatteringly about his father in this interview than he did in the pre-fight interviews. He says, "I truly believe in self-preservation, but my dad will always push you to the limit because he wants the best from an athlete. He wants the best for all fighters that he's working with. My dad has a tremendous game plan with a great camp. He was working hand-to-hand, but we was working hand-to-hand, but my uncle, Roger, is working with me also. My father and Roger, the chemistry was great. My father and Roger, the chemistry was great this training camp. First time we all worked together, all three of us. And he says they are going to stick with that regiment because we had great results. And he also talked a little bit about going to jail. It was a crucial moment for me, he said, being locked away. Of course, when I came home mentally, it still was in the back of my mind. Each day is getting better, but that situation continues to be on your mind. You think about it all the time. That's something I don't wish on my worst enemy." And he says, 29 more months, which is the length of his Showtime contract, is how much longer he'll fight. Five more fights. Five fights in 29 months sounds like a lot, but and that also, interestingly enough, puts him, if he wins every fight and retires, puts him in the same number of wins and no losses, obviously, as Rocky Marciano. So that's kind of interesting that he wouldn't want to go 50-0 and he won better, but 49-0. He talks a lot in this interview about how he's changed the face of boxing. It used to be about all heavyweights, and now they're paying attention to more welterweights like him. So, that's another interesting point of view there.
Just to be a little nitpicky about it, though, I think that was changing back in the 80s, so we'll let it rest at that. The 70s, I would agree, it was all heavyweights.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about his fallout with 50 Cent. It is real, yes. It's just that in business. I felt like I handled it like a gentleman. We didn't see eye to eye in business. I couldn't give nobody half of my empire, but it's no hard feelings. As far as reconciling that relationship, there are times my focus is building the Money Team brand and keeping the Mayweather name out there and helping the sport of boxing. He also says no way to fighting Manny Pacquiao even if he takes all the tests. That fight doesn't hold any weight anymore. So whether he lost twice or not, that's not the point for him. He says it's just basic common sense. Why am I fighting a guy that just took two losses? But at the same time, he says it no longer holds weight. That's the exact quote. So let's try Glenn more time here.
Your call has been forwarded to...
One more time.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
I don't know what's going on there. So I could send a text message, but can't do that. Let's see. We'll try him in a few more minutes. Hopefully he gets his message. He's also doing some boxing training nowadays. He actually has to have the tape of the interview sent to a gym, so it sounds like his own gym. The Thump Gym in Miami, Florida. So, I know he couldn't have got confused on the time, because it's in Eastern time zone, just like us. Or at least Tony and I. I don't know if, Tom, are you in Eastern time zone or Central?
Yes, no, East. All just right. Like you guys, right now it's a little over, what do we got, 20 till 9 around then, yeah. So, same as you guys.
Maybe I'll try sending him an email back. Try to get him on the show here. I've been trying to get this interview for so long, too. Every time I've made a connection with him on a social network or something, I've mentioned I'd love to do this interview. And I've gotten press releases from people that has contact information for his management and everything. Put it through them. Nothing. And so finally he connects with me on LinkedIn. And I got that connection going there. And it sounds like he runs his own LinkedIn profile. It's not somebody like doing it for him like other fighters do. They have their management too. Finally got it. Now I can't get up on the phone. On top of that, we have great reception. But in the meantime, do we get any big boxing events coming up this weekend that people should know about? And then we got no UFC stuff until next weekend.
Actually,
well,
we got Doc here a couple of minutes that
we have
Glenn Johnson's record up. What is this weekend, by the way? This weekend is the 11th and 12th?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm forgetting dates and shit anymore. Yeah, let's see if we got anything interesting on. Oh, we got Detroit, Michigan Friday night fights on Friday night. I think they said at 10 o'clock, which means I'm not going to get to see them because I got to work all day tomorrow selling flowers, as manly of a job as that is for Mother's Day. We got Vernon Paris. He had his only loss last year to Zab Judah. He's 27-1, 16 knockouts. Played a guy by the name of Manuel Perez, 19-8, one draw and only 4 knockouts. So I guess they're trying to ease him in with a guy that's not a big puncher right now. I'll get his confidence back a little bit. He had one fight about 2 months ago, which was his only fight after the Judah loss last year. That's your main event. You have undercard Lonnie Smith and Cornelius Locke. Lonnie Smith is 14-4, 10 knockouts. And Cornelius Locke is 26-1, which I mean 20 wins, 6 losses, and 1 draw. And he has 13 knockouts. Let's take a look for what we got on tap for Saturday night, if anything. I'm going to see Elvis Saturday night, the real Elvis. Played about 10 minutes from my house. I'm very excited.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Not the guy that they thought was mailing rice in all over the country?
No, this guy's just a local guy. I've met him a few times. He's pretty good. Let's see. We got one fight in Laredo, Texas, which isn't that like the big drug kingpin capital of the world?
I think it's a border town. So
yeah, border, exactly. They have a show about it. Your boy Rich is fighting Victor Chinian.
The praying mantis.
Yeah, the praying mantis, the crab. He's 38-5, 27 knockouts. Last fight was back in September, a 10-round decision over Luis Orlando Dunval. He's fighting a guy by the name of Javier Gallo, 18-6, 10 knockouts. I don't think that's going to be televised. Let me see if there's anything else. I didn't recall any fights that were going to be televised this weekend. But let me just take a quick look here. Let's see if there's anything that just catches my little Rain Man brain. Wait, didn't we interview Tony Jenner a few weeks ago?
It wasn't a few weeks ago. It was a while ago.
A few weeks, a few months. He's fighting. He's fighting on Saturday in down in Millersville, Maryland. He's fighting. He's 15-3, one draw, 10 knockouts, and he's fighting Victor Hugo Correa. 15-5, 10 knockouts, and all five of his losses are by knockout.
And he hates Jeter. You know that? He hates Derek Jeter. We found that out.
Yeah,
there.
I know. But that really looks like all we got, you know, for this weekend. It's not a big boxing weekend. So I guess it'll be a good weekend for me to get some work done. Now, before we get back on the phone with Glenn Johnson, I got to tell Tom this one. Tom's going to get a kick out of this. Tom, I go with a friend of mine. He has unlimited guest pass in one of those LA Fitnesses.
Uh-huh.
So I go with him three to three times a week. And he lifts. I really don't lift. I haven't lifted since high school, really. But I do a lot of cardio when I'm there, and I jump rope. Now, this guy, he outweighs me by about a good 30, 40 pounds, and he's not much taller than me, so he's really heavy now. So I try to get him to jump rope with me, which is pretty funny. Now, as stocky as I am, I can still skip. So I like to purposely go in there between the aerobic classes and the body strengthening classes so I can jump rope in front of all the cool girls. So we have nicknames. And the other thing, he's my friend's more of like a musclehead. You know, he's like, oh, come on, I got a lift. You're going to spot me today? Because his cousin doesn't go with us anymore. So like, one day he comes up to me, he's like, hey, can you spot me? I point at him, I'm like, there you are. He's like, are you sure? So we have nicknames to all the cute girls. So there's one girl, and she's really, really cute. We got a nickname for her. We even got a hand signal for when she comes in. Don't I come to find out she is a friend with a friend of mine from Lock Haven that boxed with me back in 1998. They're friends. And so I wrote on his Facebook the other day about going to those fights in June at the Valley Forge Casino. Doesn't she fucking work there as a drink server? And was the last fight I was at?
Nice.
Wow. And the funny thing is, when I wrote all that on his Facebook page, and she says, oh, my God, I work there and everything. And she's like, wearing all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't even think she knows who I am. Like she's commenting on this because I wrote on his page, but she's not friends with me. I'm like, do you realize that I'm the guy that checks out your ass every day? I'll get to the
wow.
Absolutely.
Now, Tony, this is the June 15th one, correct?
Yes, and in fact, I just got an email the other day. I'll forward it to you guys from the promoter, Marshall Kaufman.
Okay, Rich, are we going to make it? Are we on for that?
What's the date again?
June 15th.
Saturday.
June 15th in Pennsylvania.
Perfect time for us to do it.
Yeah. I could be a road warrior for that one.
Oh, that'll be pretty. Hey, we got to get together. We got to get together, man. We got to do it. So it's on at this point. Perfect. Okay. Uh-huh. We'll get the details.
Well, let's try to get Glenn on.
One fight on the card will supposedly be between Yorkie and Kennedy. I think your fight's off.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 3.
Well, I guess we're going to have to reschedule Glenn Johnson, unfortunately. That was one I thought that we'd be all set for, be a good one. But we're running out of time to make his interview work with the other one coming up anyway. So if we're going to do it, I'd rather do it when we have full time. So Dennis just sent me a couple numbers of some other people that are involved in the Battle of the Badges. We're going to connect with them pretty shortly here. Around 8 o'clock, we have Tommy Brown and Artie Dias. So we're going to call Tommy Brown around 9 o'clock first and then connect in Artie Dias. I don't know exactly what role they have in the whole thing because Dennis didn't explain it, but we'll ask him for sure. We'll have Dennis on after that. While we're waiting, I might as well go through some of the upcoming MMA fights we got here. MFC, Maximum Fighting Championships, has an event tomorrow night called True Grit up in Edmonton, Alberta. We've got up in Columbus, Ohio, UVC 23 Invasion, also tomorrow night. On Way Down Under in Australia, Australian Fighting Championship 5 from Victoria, Melbourne. We have Capital Fight 5 in the Federal District of Brazil. The RNEB Bad Boys Are Back show in Sheridan, Colorado. Those are all. On Saturday night, we have CFFC 20 from New Jersey City. Sullivan versus Becker is the headline there. We got Saturday LFFC La Familia Fight Night 4 from Hall, Germany. That sounds like Spanish, but it's a German show. then we have Detonic Fight 2 from Jirai, Brazil. Then we have Fight Night 8. CWFC from the United Arab Emirates, UAE, and then over in Sao Paulo, Brazil, Max Sport 13.2, and another one in Brazil from Rio de Janeiro on Saturday. We got the Teddy Combat 15, World WNC also in Brazil in the Rio Grande do Sul area. Kickdown MMA 108 is taking place. Another one in Colorado. This one's in Denver at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel. It's going to be Munoz versus Williams headlining that one. We got EFC Africa 2, the Elite Fighting Championship. Rio de Janeiro again on Saturday. World Finally Combat. Circuit. WFC on May 11th, also Saturday, from Santa Catarina, Brazil. We got something from Latvia, Tukum, Latvia, First Blood, put on by Freon Promotion. It's a weird name, too. Cage 22, Ninimaki versus Bibi from Vanta, Finland, also on Saturday. A few more here. Eternal MMA 2 Remorseless. That's a pretty unique name. Remorseless. for a big fight card. That's funny. That's coming from the Gold Coast, Queensland, Australia. Okay, we got TK MMA 3. These are on Saturday. Reign of Fury from Buckinghamshire, England. CWC has an event on Saturday as well. Cage Warrior Combat 4 from Kingston, Washington, in the U.S. And finally, on Saturday, we have PLMMA 16 from Pomerania, Poland. Actually, Middle Pomerania. And that event is called Cause Zalan for some reason. And we have three events on Sunday. One of them is in Brazil. Vitória Espírito Santo, Brazil. We have HCC 12, which stands for Haidar Kaba Combat. And we have a couple of Japanese events. Tenkaichi 66, put out by Tenkaichi Fight. It's in Okinawa. And we have Shuto 401 in Tokyo. And that's it until next weekend when we have the UFC on FX8 coming up. So I'm going to add Tommy here, Tommy Brown, Dennis's buddy, and I'll connect with him in a second here. Is there any fillers while I'm doing my dialing here? Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to connect with Dennis's buddy, Tommy Brown. Any minute now here. Got to wait for Skype. Like I said, the Battle of the Badges takes place on May 18th. That's at Foxwoods in Connecticut, Foxwoods Resort Casino. I believe tickets are still available. I'm out with Dennis.
Yeah. Now, who are the contestants? I mean, what's the teams?
Well, you have the Massachusetts Corrections Officers versus New York.
Ah.
All amateur boxing.
Hello.
Hello, Tommy.
Yes.
Hi, this is Rabble Rouser Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited. How's it going?
Hey, good. How you doing? What's going on?
How much? Dennis gave us your number, but he didn't explain what you have to do with the Battle of the Badges. So.
Yeah, I'm just getting out of work now. I'm just driving home. Yep, sure.
So give us a little bit of a rundown of what your contribution to the show is.
Well, I'm actually the vice president of the National Public Safety Athletic League. I work with Dennis, and also I am also I work for the Massachusetts Department of Corrections. What we do is the Battle of Badges is on my take is a team that I put together over the last couple of years, getting all these correction officers properly trained, in boxing, and we try to put on a big show every year, just to try to showcase what these guys do. For a living, a lot of these CEOs don't really get the recognition that a lot of people in the public safety sector do. And, it's one of those ways to do that, to showcase these guys. But also, it's a good rivalry for the Boston, New York, atmosphere and using Boston to do that with these guys involved in law enforcement.
Right. And tell us a little bit about the contestants this year. And I know it's different. It used to be the FDNY, but this is, I think, the first time it's corrections officers versus corrections officers, right?
Yes. It's the first time we've steered this route. It's actually, but it's keeping with the New York, Massachusetts. I'm going to pull over in a parking lot right now. I get some downpours coming in. So, now we get keep the rivalry going with the Boston, New York, and it was great to have correction officers from you'll get involved with us, which is a great thing to keep going.
And as far as the guys from the New England team, anybody really stand out to you as really good? And
I think with this team, we got a couple. We have a few new fighters this year. I have a couple returning veterans. I have a guy, Richie Dwest. This will be his last fight. He grew up in Rhode Island. He fights at BNF Boxing. He's a correction officer. He actually works with me. He won last year, and he said this is going to be his last fight, so he seems real excited about doing this. He's got a lot of experience, so it's a good fight for him. We got a couple new young guys coming up this year. A couple of kids fighting out of Concord. One kid, Mikey Levinson. Matty Guerin, another guy got to watch for, a very exciting fighter. Graham Trout is an exciting fighter. He fights out of the Bridgewater Complex in Massachusetts. Dean Hardy's a good friend of mine. He's a master fighter, an exciting fighter, hard-nosed fighter. For the females, we have Lisa Andrews, Ashley Moore, very gifted, very, very gifted female fighter. She's unbelievable. She puts on a show every time she fights. The girl has the fastest hands I've ever seen. I'd be afraid to get in the ring with her. If you see this girl go, she's very gifted. We have a new female coming out of Worcester County also fighting. She's a good fighter, so she'd be good. She's getting a tune-up this weekend. She's fighting the show, so she's not young and new, but we'll see how she does. But we got 18 fights on the card, so I'm trying to pick up some one of the returning veterans, another one, Erica Brawl. Hopefully gets a good win this year down there at Foxwood. So.
And have you guys done any scouting on the opposition? Do you have any idea what you're getting into with those guys?
You know what? I tell my guys, I go, boxing's the most unfair sport in the world. I go, you got to be ready for anything. I go train like they always ask me. I take their phone calls. Hey, you get any video on these guys? I go. Do we have any video on you? They're like, no. I go, then don't worry about it. Go in there like you're fighting Mike Tyson from 1989. You're fighting for the heavyweight title or the middleweight title or the lightweight title of the world. You know, train like you're going to fight you're fighting for the championship of the world. You know, and then everything else will fall into play. Going with the game plan that you're going to have everything coming at you and be ready for anything.
Yeah, Floyd Mayweather doesn't want to take with his opponents either, so.
It's boxing. Anything can happen. One punch. It's, you know, you could be winning the fight the first two rounds. Third round is over. You never know, you know, so.
Yeah. And how long have you been involved in this event in the past?
I've been doing this for 3 years with Dennis. I've been doing the boxing with the DOC, with the correction officers, for the last 3 years, and it's really been taking off. We generate a lot of excitement, and it's been really good for these guys because it's something positive. It puts a positive spin on what these COs do, and I'm really proud of these guys and to work side by side these guys every day throughout the state of Massachusetts. It puts a lot of these guys in a positive light, and they're doing something. A lot of these guys work crazy shifts anyway, you know, and they don't get to see their family a lot and could spend extra time dedicating themselves to getting their ring down at Foxwoods for one event. You know, it's exciting for them, but it's also showing who they are as people and their character to get in the ring and train, but also raise money for a couple different charities and, you know, and the nonprofit we represent, but also, you know, for the veterans organizations we're raising money for. So it just shows the character of what they're trying to do.
All right. And what do you enjoy most about being involved in the amateur boxing scene with these guys?
It's just all the excitement. It's all the excitement that gets stirred up around it. It's good to have these guys who are involved in law enforcement to keep a positive spin with the amateur boxing world. You know, these guys are in the gyms and they get to talk to younger kids. That's something we want to keep pushing and be positive role models also. And that's another good aspect of what we're trying to do too, and bring a good positive image to the USA Boxing.
And I know I've been to a few shows down there at Foxwoods since they started doing it there. I've seen it at some other venues, but Foxwoods really is the perfect distance between New England and New York. So, what's that like there at the venue and being in a position where you have a lot of New York and New England fans chanting against each other there.
I think that definitely adds a lot of excitement to it, and it's, I think it, what it also brings to these guys, it takes them out of that the old VFW post feeling, and it brings them, it makes these guys feel as though, especially being amateurs, it makes them give them the feeling of being a professional fighter. You know, you watch a lot of Friday night fights, and every now and then it's down there at Fox's, the Fox Theater, so these guys get to kind of experience that whole facade of what actually goes on, and feel like they're a professional fighter, you know, and it's a good experience for them. And we really try to, myself, Dennis, and Adi Diaz, we all try to really put together a great program to really make these guys feel as though they're being treated as professional fighters, you know, with entrance songs and all the fight songs and things like that, and just the whole atmosphere of the whole night, and, you know, it's a couple thousand people in the crowd cheering them on, and make it a good rivalry, but also all in good spirits and all for fun, you know. But it's very competitive, but fun, you know. These guys will battle in the ring, but when it's over, you know, they'll give each other credit to each other, which is a good thing. You know, a lot of good sportsmanship comes out of this, and a lot of good friendships come out of this after the fights are over, and we'll all go hang out at the comics afterwards, and we'll have get back a few pints in, hang out and enjoy each other's company, and say, hey, you know, this is all, you know, for a good night.
Yeah, it's extra tough to have the rivalry with New York now after their response to the marathon bombing, too, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know what, though, and that definitely be brought up, and that's, it puts another spin on what's going on down there, so, but, you know, New York went through that in 2001, And those guys lost a lot of friends, a lot of their companions and people they've been involved with too. So it's never going to go away, and we all know that. And I think we're all, like, I know with Boston Strong, and I know New York's already been united. I think it just brings us all closer together. And I think doing events like this with people involved in corrections and in public safety, it's only going to really bring us together and make us even stronger.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, I did a little tribute for the guys that were on the FDNY boxing team who were lost in September 11th, and one of them was actually the nephew of the coach, and it was one of the best things I've ever done for this whole series was when I did it for them at the Boston Athletic Club when they had it there.
Yes.
So they appreciated that a lot, and I always liked working with those guys. But getting back to the event itself, how do people get tickets? Are tickets still available?
There's still some tickets available. They can go right on Foxwoods' website, and it's through the Battle of the Badges. There's still tickets available. They're going quick. They're going fast. The fight's next is May 18th. It's coming around pretty quick, so we're real excited. There's a few tickets left. It's definitely worth the $30 ticket, or if they want to sit closer, $50 and ringside, $100, and you can't get a better venue, and you get 18 fights on your card for the. It's worth the money, and all the money goes to charity, so you can't beat that.
Yeah, most professional fight cards don't have that many fights, so.
Exactly. So that's what's excitement throughout the whole night.
All right, well, we definitely appreciated chatting with you, Tommy. I'll hopefully meet you at the event. I'm planning to go there, so.
You'll definitely find me. I'll be with Dennis, and you'll see me. I'd love to meet you in person, and we'll sit down and talk and have a conversation. And thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you. We're going to connect.
All right, take care. Have a great night.
All right,
take care then. All right, bye.
Okay, so there we have it. That's Tommy Brown. Now we're going to connect with Adi Diaz, just mentioned, but I didn't get him to elaborate on what Tommy happened. Don't forget the guys whose names are on the show with no problem. They're having trouble getting a big star.
Hello.
Hello, Adi.
Yes.
Hi, this is Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited. How's it going?
Hey, Rich. How you doing?
Good. Dennis,
I almost forgot about this.
Dennis gave me your number a little while ago. Said we should have you and Tommy on before him. So I just talked to Tommy. And I never really got a description of what you have to do with the show, but can you give us a rundown of what you get going on and how you got involved?
Yeah, my main operation, what I do is I put the show together. I have nothing to do with the fighters, so to speak, but as far as bringing in celebrities, I contact celebrities, I set up the timing of the show, I handle the tickets, set up any type of like after parties. Like this year we have a party at Comics after the show, you know, things like that. I got involved through, I have a history, about 25 years ago I was involved in promoting in California. And I met Dennis through his brother and a couple other people. His brother was a coach at the high school, and my son was playing at the time. And we just started talking, and I said, if I ever get a chance to help you out, give me a call, and that's what happened. You know, you got into Foxwoods last year, and I don't know if you got a little, you know, stunned by the big lights, but he gave me a call, and we've been together ever since.
All right. And what's different about this year's show? Obviously, we have different opponents. It's usually the FDNY, but what else is going to be a little different about this year?
Well, this year's show is, over the past, it's been fire against police, fire against corrections. This year, it's, I would say, 85 to 90% all correction officers. And the thing about that is the correction officers have a bond, you know, within their own self, their own creed type of thing, and they can relate to each other a lot better than, you know, other professions of the of law enforcement as far as doing the same type of job. So not that there's going to be any compassion in the ring, but the competitiveness, I think, will be a little bit better as opposed to police and firefighting correctional officers. Other than that, it's going to be a good show, I think, you know, as far as the competitiveness, like I said, and the length of the show. We have actually 16 fights scheduled this year, where in the past we've actually lost fights to the point where we're down to like 12. And these guys are actually preparing to fight. They're in shape. They've been in the gym before and after work, even at work, some of them. So they're ready.
And what do you think about Foxwoods as a venue?
I think Foxwoods is a great venue for something like this. First of all, it exposes the entertainment world to a lot of guys that are locked up, you know, 8 to 10 hours a day, pretty much in a cell, just like the people that they're watching. And the stress level being in that situation, I really wouldn't want to deal with. And for them to be able to get out and have a good night, bring their families with them, you know, entertain themselves. You know, and besides, you know, the show that we're putting on, there's other entertainment down there for the weekend so that they get in there a day early, they can go, excuse me, see a show, or see a show after our show. After their fight, they can leave and go see a show. You know, I think the night we're down there, Penn and Teller's in the MGM, the main room. George Lopez is there the night before. There's a lot of things happening, so just that weekend itself, I think, could help these guys relieve a lot of stress. You know, the wives can get involved, and, you know, it's a good weekend for them.
And how about the charities involved? I know that Work Vessels for Veterans has been one that's been benefited the past couple of years, the National Public Safety Athletic League. Tell us a little bit about, you know, how that helps them.
Well, Work Vessels for Veterans, I'm kind of close to because I'm a veteran myself. And what they do is they help out veterans who are interested in starting businesses. They help them, or they direct them as far as setting up bank accounts, you know, people to talk to in the financial world. They give them heads up on that. They'll help them with equipment, such as office furniture, computers, you know, stuff like that, which is a great, great help when it comes to somebody who just has a passion for doing something. One gentleman, he loved fishing, and a few years ago he got involved with work vessels, and they actually got him a lobster boat. And he's a lobsterman now. And he, I think he employs five people, you know, and so from being just a humble vet to an employer, he's very proud of himself and his family, which I can understand. That's work vessels for veterans. National Public Safety, we're a fledgling group. We're basically five or six civilians who want to just do something for kids. I'm sorry, what?
I'm still here.
Yeah, we just basically want to do something for kids. We're all from, I'm from the inner city. I'm from Brockton, Mass. And I want to give back to the kids in my area, such as the projects and youth baseball and some of the school programs, sports programs that they put on that are, you know, basically lacking in funds. And we work throughout North Attleboro, South Attleboro, we're going to Mansfield, and communicating to coaches and teachers and that type of thing to see if we can help out with whatever it takes, uniforms, equipment. One of our dreams is to put together a complex where kids can not only come and work out and play and learn different athletics, but we want to tie in arts and music into it so that, because that's being in the school system today with the budgets and the economy, it's being cut in a lot of schools. So we want to open that up to kids and teachers. And if they even come in for like 2 hours a week and they teach a singing class, I mean, I think something like that could help the community in itself. So those are the type of goals that we shoot for. And the Suffolk County Correctional Officers, who is another charity we're working with this year, they have a foundation that helps fallen officers through different organizations they work with, either officers that have been injured or work-related problems. You know, they help them with finances, help them with doctor bills, they help them with finding correct counseling, you know, that type of thing. So everybody's trying to do a little bit of something for the community. That's the bottom line. And, you know, it takes two hands to wash. You can't just wash one by itself.
Right. Cool. As far as the competition, this is the first year that's been corrections guys versus corrections guys for the most part. What kind of dynamic do you think that brings to this event this year?
Well, like I said earlier, the competitiveness. I mean, just the simple fact is, I mean, it's like football players going against baseball players in a charity game or fundraiser, or an all-star game. The competition just isn't there as it would be on a regular Sunday or Thursday night baseball game. When you're actually playing or competing against your type of person, you know, you, what you are. So I think that raises everything, you know. Fight.
What do you enjoy most about being involved in this type of stuff and boxing itself?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
What do you enjoy most about being involved in this type of event and just amateur boxing itself?
You know, it's funny. I've been doing this now. This will be my second year with National Public Safety. And when I used to do it back in San Diego, I did mostly pro fights. I very rarely get to see the fight. I see the fights later on tape. My biggest thrill out of it is putting the show together and seeing the smiles when people leave. I'm more interested in the music that's played, the communication of the crowd, the laughter of the crowd, the cheering of the crowd, the crowd being comfortable, access to, you know, refreshments and beverages and whatever. that's what I really get into. I get into the before, during, and after. The fights to me is like a by the way, you know. But I love boxing. I grew up in a boxing family. My grandfather was a boxer. He was actually the all-army champion during the Korean War. And I grew up in the world of boxing. I grew up, obviously, from Brockton. I know about Rocky Marciano, who I get to meet once when I was a kid. But I grew up with, excuse me, Marvin Hagler. Grew up with Robbie Sims and all those guys, Tony Petronelli. And I was always around boxing. So the game of boxing I like and I love. But the entertainment, the show business part of it, I like better.
Tony Petronelli used to train me for a brief period till I broke my rib.
Oh.
Great guy.
I'm sure a lot of fun. Tony will be there, by the way. Tony will be one of our celebrities at the event this year.
Yeah.
He's coming down. Got Jerry Cooney's coming in. Buddy McGirt.
Press release on him.
Yeah. The welterweight, former welterweight champion of the world, Tony DeMarco, will be there. There are quite a few. Vito Antifermo, who had a couple of wars with Marvin Hagler, he'll be there. We tried to get Marvin in, but Marvin's going to be out of country at the time. We missed him by a couple of weeks because he'll be coming back for the Hall of Fame inductions up in upstate New York, but we missed him by a couple of weeks. Hopefully we'll get him next year.
Yeah.
And, we still got a feeler out for Larry Holmes. We still haven't got a no from Larry Holmes. We haven't got a yes, but we still haven't got a no. So, you know, that's a possibility, too.
It seemed like he had a great time when he came to the memorial.
Say that again?
It seemed like he had a great time when he came to the Rocky Marciano Memorial there in Brockton.
Oh, yeah, when the unveil of the statue. Yeah, he had a ball. He and his family came up. They enjoyed the area. Don King, they enjoyed it. They had a good time. Had
it was
really
the one thing I said was about 30 years ago, who would have thought that Larry Holmes would have been so warmly received in Brockton?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. After the comments that were made at that time, you would have really, this was a shock. But you know what? A couple of people still have some bad feeling towards him, but I think he gracefully apologized. A lot of people don't understand that he apologized initially right after the fact to the Marciano family and to personal friends of Rocky. He apologized to them. And then, you know, I kind of understand it. In the heat of a battle, you know, you just lost a fight and people are asking you questions.
He lost the heavyweight championship of the world. I mean, this is the biggest prize in sports, the heavyweight championship of the world. You're going for a record. A lot of pressure on you. You're going to actually tie a very significant record, a record that means a lot to a lot of people. And it's a disappointment. And not like you got knocked out or not like you got beat decisively. It was a close, controversial fight. So, yeah, there's a heated thing. I know in my career, I was joking about this 2 days ago. I had an amateur fight down in Richmond, Virginia back in 1997, and I was fighting a kid 2 weight classes above me, who ended up becoming the 2-time national champion in heavyweight from the Naval Academy. He's currently a Navy SEAL. And I was fighting this kid as hard as I could, but he was just bigger than I was. And in the third round, with about 30 seconds to go, I suffered a bad cut in my mouth in the first round. To the point where, like, as soon as I would go back, they were just stuffing towels into my mouth. I couldn't even breathe in the corner. They had my mouth covered with towels. And finally, in the third round, they took me to the doctor. And the doctor's like, I got to stop the fight. And I'm like, no, please, no. And he's like, you're on the cards. You know, but I'm like, I don't want to get stopped. You know, I want to go to the end. I still got a puncher's chance. You know, as unlikely as that was to happen, in my mind, one left hook, and I still got a shot at this. And then finally, the doctor stops the fight, and I'm cursing at him. Now we get out of the ring, and it's time for the post-fight physical. And the doctor is actually holding my upper lip in half. He's holding it. And he's like, you need to go to the hospital and get stitches. And I'm like, you know what, doctor, you can go fuck yourself because I'm fighting next week. He's like, I recommend you go to hell. And that's an amateur fight that meant nothing. I know what the heat of the battle means. I met Larry 10 years ago at a boxing club in Easton, PA, or Allentown, PA, about a half hour from Easton. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to the store, meeting some friends on it, and I'm taking my neighbor up there and his brother-in-law. So we get up there, and Larry Helms there signing autographs and talking to people, taking pictures. And my neighbor and his brother-in-law go up to Larry, and they're like, hey, can we get a photo? And he's like, yeah, sure. He's nice about it. And I snap a photo, and this is before I even had a digital camera. I had an old one of those disposable cameras. And I go, I'm like, sir, do you mind if I get a photo? And he looks at me and goes, hurry up. I'm like, that was kind of rude. You know, I'm like, nah, I don't think nothing of it. I develop it 2 days later, and there's me wearing a Rocky Marciano T-shirt.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I came up to the festival from Philadelphia. I came up to see it.
Oh, the fed? Yeah, you was up here?
Yeah.
That was a good day.
It was a good time. What I did was I took a lot of the still pictures I took, and I did a slideshow with it, and I set it to music. I put it on YouTube.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny, as like you said, as an amateur fighter, you went through those ordeals. But I've been with, you know, Ali Foreman, Frazier and Ali. And, you know, and these guys, they truly, as much stories that you hear about Frazier and Ali hating each other, they were the best of friends. They loved each other. They had their quarrel. They got over it. And they talked to each other peacefully. And as far as the sporting world, so to speak, it was none of their business. You know, they had their time and they did their thing and it was over. But, you know, unfortunately, Joe's not with us anymore, but I think Joe died peacefully knowing that Ali truly cared about him.
Yeah.
You know? And then even as sick as Ali is, he made it to the ceremony, the funeral, rather. And people kind of snarled at that. I'm like, you got to be out of your mind. This man is... definitely ill, and he shows support for Mr. Frazier, and they're going to step in and balk at that. I mean, that shows you that people just don't know.
They're actually just got funded about 2 weeks ago. It's been made official. They hired the sculptor. They're doing a statue in Philadelphia of Joe Frazier. And there was always a big controversy in Philadelphia that, you know, Rocky Balboa had a statue and Joe Frazier didn't. And the one thing I always say with that is, what you people got to understand was, it's not like the city of Philadelphia built a Rocky Balboa statue. Sylvester Stallone and MGM Movies, or whatever the movie was, they built that when they were making Rocky III, and it was such a good, you know, moneymaker, and it was such a fan draw, they kept it. They kept it around the city, at first at the Art Museum, then at the Philadelphia Spectrum. Well, the Philadelphia Spectrum got torn down a couple years ago. In its place now, it's like a kind of like a nightclub entertainment center right across from where all the Philadelphia sports stadiums are. That's
right.
Where the statue is going to be. It's going to be as big as Marciano's statue. The Frazier statue is going to be about 8 to 9 feet tall. And I'm going to have that ceremony too. It should be probably they're looking at the anniversary next year of the first Frazier Ali fight, March 8th. So I'm looking forward.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd be
awesome.
Fantastic. I'm going to try to get down there for that.
Yeah, and
I love
to give Rich my info. Rich has my info, but I'll say look me up when you're down there, because I'll be there. I'll cover it for the website, but I've been also as a fan. One thing before we move on, speaking of Joe Frazier, and I always tell this story on the air, and I told this specifically after he passed away last year, I'll never forget this, and this is... I really regret at the time there were no digital cameras or like those instant video cameras or cell phone cameras, because it would have been a YouTube hit. Back in 1994, 2 years before Ali was at the Atlanta Olympics trembling when he lit the flame, they were having a small play card in Philadelphia, but it wasn't like a Blue Horizon card. It was at the convention center in Center City as part of the 4th of July Day weekend. They were having all these big events, culminating with the fight card. No big name fighters on it, but it was a good little event. And Joe Frazier was there, as was Muhammad Ali. And Joe gets in the ring first, and obviously his hometown fans are going crazy for him. They're cheering his name. And he's standing in the one corner, and then they had to help Ali in the ring. Two guys are holding his hand. They help him up the stairs. They help him in the ring, and he's got his head down looking at the canvas. And he picks his head up, and he sees Joe Frazier, and you can almost see his eyes turn on, like the lights came on, and he started dancing around the ring and doing the Ali shuffle. And Joe picked up on it and started doing his old bob and weave type of motions, and it looked like it was Manila all over again. And there was, I was only 17. I didn't understand it as much. You know, I knew who they were, and I knew they fought. But it was like there were grown men in the audience actually crying.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I can imagine. I did a reconstruction of the first Ali Norton fight in San Diego in 87. And it was the same type of thing. They got in the ring, and they got across the corner to corner of each other, and it was the same type of reaction. People just looked at it, and like you said, grown men were, you know, tearing up. And, you know, some of those people were there at the actual fight in San Diego. So for this, to see these guys 25 years later was like, you know, the hair on the back of the neck was standing up. But just to be a part, I own a hat that says Rumble in the Jungle. And from the Ali Frazier fight, Foreman fight, and I get more praise from that simple hat than I do from world champion Yankee hats. You know? I don't even remember where I bought the hat, but I wish I had more. I'd sell them.
I got one from Hagler versus Hearns. I don't ever wear it, but it's one of those old school ones from the 80s with the netting on the back, but it actually has a picture of the two of them at the face-off with the win on it.
Oh, Hagler Hearns?
Yeah.
You say Hagler Hearns? The war, yeah.
Yeah.
I was at that fight, too. That was a crazy fight. That was one of the best fights ever.
Well,
maybe it should go down.
All right, so which fight I ever bet on, and I lost, because, of course, I bet for Hagler, Massachusetts guy.
you bet against Marvin?
No, I bet for Marvin.
Hagler who?
No, not that one. I'm talking about...
Leonard.
Leonard, yeah.
Yeah, that... You don't want to get me started about that fight.
Yeah, but I still think Marvin won that fight.
But the, just one more quick thing about Frazier. I happened to be at a dinner, Super Bowl of the 87 Super Bowl in San Diego. The Washington Redskins and who did they play it? When Doug Williams. But before the fight, a week before the fight, or the week leading up to it, Marvis came there. There was a Super Bowl fight. Marvis fought there. And so Joe was there, and there was a dinner being put on by HBO. And I happened to, the NABF convention was in town also. So they asked me if I could get some people to come over to the HBO dinner. So I brought Joe and a few people over, Al Bernstein and a couple. Anyway, it happened to be the same night as the anniversary of the Frazier Foreman fight. And we're sitting there eating dinner, and Joe's grunting during dinner. And I turn and I go, "Are you all right?" And he goes, and they had a big screen TV right next to us. And he goes, "I still feel those punches 25 years later." Can you imagine that? And then I got to meet George Foreman. And I'm 6'3", 280. And George Foreman was, at the time, I was like 240. And I felt like a little kid next to George Foreman. That's a massive man.
Yeah.
And Joe Frazier was only, 5'9"? He was like Marciano size, a little heavier, obviously. But this guy is, he got tree trunks for arms. And the beating that he gave Ali and Ali to withstand that. I mean, that whole circuit that back then is just so totally different from nowadays. It's just, I'm glad I lived through it and got to see it, because these kids nowadays have no clue.
Yeah, it's a different game, that's for sure.
Yep. So, yeah, we're going to have a good night down at Foxwoods.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we got to connect with Dennis next, so if you want to give us kind of some final thoughts about your involvement and what you think of the show.
Well, I'm glad I'm involved for one reason and one reason only, so that the kids and the benefactors can get a little bit of something out of this. Hopefully we make some money. Everybody gets a piece of the pie, and we have a good time. You know, that's the bottom line. I hope nobody gets hurt. Good competitive night, and we enjoy ourselves. You know, and hopefully we'll get invited back. You know, last year we had no clue what we were getting into, and we almost put, I think it was a little 1,400 and change we put in there. as far as butts in the seat. And they told us that we were the largest amateur show that ever was produced there. And we had more celebrities per capita than professional shows that come through there. And they were very happy with us. That's why we get invited back. So hopefully we can do it again. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, I hope. Yeah, I'll probably meet you down there and chit-chat when we get there. But I went last year, and I did. I saw that for sure. And I've only been to one other show there at Foxworth. It was an amateur MMA event, and it was nothing compared to the crowd that showed up for this. Bad show. So.
Well, I hope to meet you guys down there. You grab me. I'll be running around in a monkey suit. On a radio in my hand, so just give me a yell, or if I don't see you during the show, I'll see you at the party afterwards.
All right. Thanks a lot, Artie.
All right. No problem. Right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Now we've got our final guest, Dennis Maurice, and
we've reached 508-509-3236.
Get his answer.
Please leave a message when you return.
Yeah, typical Dennis. He wants to be the guy in the background. He's probably going to try to skip it.
Reach 508-509-3236. Please leave a message.
Time in another minute. But actually, while we were on there with Artie, guess who emailed me? Oops, he says. So, I guess we'll have to connect with him next week. Glenn, I wouldn't want to get him for a short interview. And maybe we can guilt trip him into staying on longer next week because he does this week. We'll see. Let's try Dennis one more time. If we don't get him, we don't get him. I'm sure, we got quite the rundown from Artie and Tommy there. Let's show.
Hello.
Dennis. Here he is. How's
is this Fight News? Is this Fight News Unlimited?
This is it. We're online.
Is Tony with you?
Tony is here.
Is hey, tell Tony, baby, what's up?
Not much, Dennis.
I didn't see. Good. I didn't see it. You didn't even come over and say hi to me at the Rocky Marciano dedication. I was looking all over for it.
I was talking to Rich. We were just commenting we couldn't find you.
All you had to do was call me, but that's all right. We'll get together. Are you coming to the next Saturday or what?
No, I'm stuck down here, man. They got me running all over. I'm going to work on the weekend still.
Ah, yeah, you could I'd put you up for the. We would have put you up for the night. You know? So if you could get there, let me know right away. If you decide you want to, you know, let let me know anyway. We'll hook you up. You know. Thank you for everything you guys. What's that?
Did you ever see the video I made from the Marciano?
Yeah, I launched to the family and stuff. Very nice. I think I still got it on my Facebook. I really loved it. Did a great job. Very, very, very good job.
Yeah, we were all wondering where you were, Dennis. I didn't even think you showed up.
I'm back with Peter and all those people. You know, I'm back with the foundation a little bit. I'll help. You know, so you know, I mean,
we got on Peter's bad side by mentioning your name that day.
Yeah, they're real close to me. You know, Peter's family and my family. We go back, you know, long before Peter was even born. So. They're technically kind of related to me, so you know, the Marcianos and the Cassiellos, and they all kind of came from the same, you know, same section of Brocken, and we have a lot of roots to Italy, so. But anyway, hey, listen, we're going to have a good night. I imagine you called me about Battle of Bed. Did you get to talk to Artie at all?
We talked to Artie and Tommy just before we got you on, and they gave us a pretty good rundown.
Artie, you've done a lot. Rich, when did I say, was you around with Gary? Let me ask you something. Were you around with Gary Bartarelli? Can you go back that far with my partner, Gary? The second one. You did the second one, so that was in 2008. Yeah, you go back. Me, you, and Tony go back. We're getting up there as far as, you know, at least it was years anyway.
I mentioned during talking to you for the first time in 2009. That's when I was bringing my dad up to a game at Fenway, and I won the
Spanish.
That's when I found the foundation. And that's when I met Rich to you guys.
Was it 2009? Maybe I think I know Rich. Rich, you contacted me during Battle of Badges, too, and I think that was in 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. But anyways, we got a good relationship. You guys do a great job. You keep boxing alive, you know, and you do a lot of good things for combat sports. I know you own boxing. But you promote the MMA and UFC and all that good stuff, and you know it's good. And the biggest thing, you guys are friends of mine. And go ahead, shoot me down, because I'm heading into work. I get some. I took a night job from 10, but I'll give you guys just fire away. Just ask me some questions.
What made you change the setup this year to corrections guys versus corrections for this one?
I think we needed a break from the. You mean instead of going? Why we're fighting New York Correction Department versus the FDNY? Is that a question?
Yeah.
Well, let's put it this way here. We needed a break from those guys. They're high maintenance. They're good people. Bobby and his group they're very competitive, and we wanted to give it a switch. We need more work on our team to really be to compete with them. Not to say we didn't. We got lucky 1 year, but last year I didn't like the way they pulled that scoring. How they just said, well, the FDNY was five wins to one, you know, 5-1 or something like that. Then they said in that part of the show, instead of combining it all, New York, you know, New York again, we would, you know, it was a real close. And there was a couple fights there that we thought that we got off. So it should have gone our way, but it didn't. But anyway, and then, we just need a break, basically. I'm not saying we're not going to fight them again, but things got to be a little different as far as the business aspect of it. So, and we'll probably come back with them, you know, maybe another time, maybe another couple of years. You know, it's always good to find somebody knows. You know, these guys are exciting. This Tommy Brown. Let me put it this way: if it wasn't for Tommy Brown, the matchmaker, vice president of our charity, I wouldn't be doing this. You know, I mean. He brought it back to life. These guys, new startup boxing club and a boxing team out of New York, Suffolk County Correctional. They seem like a very exciting bunch, and it just proves in their way they're raising money and sponsorship to pay for the event, and you know everything about them is a real class act. So I'm looking forward to having a nice relationship. But Tommy has a nice relationship with these guys. Why not? You know. So, and that's pretty much why we just wanted a breath of fresh air from New York, the fire department. Very simple, but anyway, that's that.
Yeah,
go ahead, Rich, fire away.
These guys are big time now. They just fought the London Metro police just a while back, so they're getting around.
Who's that? The FDNY boxing. Yeah, you spoke to Bobby, did you?
Yeah, he sent me some PR on it, looking for some help with some sponsorships. I don't think I helped him, so I'm kind of pointing him in the right direction.
Well, you know something, Rich? he's a good. Hey, those guys, they're like the guys that just have that disaster that happened, that tragedy in Boston. And you know, one thing, when it really came down to there was a guy named Terry McGahey. I don't know if you remember, he was in a wheelchair. And we all became as competitive as both teams are, and the different cross, the different things when you cross the line with certain things, you know. But when it came down to things happened to them, people rallied behind New York. And then I get some nice emails from all those guys and a few of those guys in New York and saying we're all in this together. We love Boston. So I kind of, you know, when I got that email, it kind of like, wow, what a compelling email from one individual, and it went out across the whole FDNY and to our boxing, to our team called guys that we're affiliated. Came from coming from New York. I thought that was a pretty classy thing that those guys did for us, you know. So I do, we do the same for them, you know. So I thought that was pretty special, you know. Anyway, Bobby's gonna, they're gonna, you know. And the other thing is, Bobby needs to bring in some fresh talent. He's using the same guys over and over, and I think there's been a lack of funding to his team. So he's not getting he's getting these guys that just, you know, they're getting older, and it's getting harder to make. He ain't bringing in any fresh guys into the program, it seems like. So, you know, and I hope that they want to come back and fight them and give them the beating like they never had again. So I think that maybe in a couple of years we'll come back and we'll be stronger, and hopefully they beef up their team, though they get some fresh talent, because, you know, I guess it comes down to they were getting funded by the city of New York, and I guess they stopped the funding. So, anyway.
You're going to get some ringers.
What's that?
You got to get some ringers for the next time you guys go against people he's never seen.
Yeah, you had a good time. You had a good time last year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Well, the way I interpret it, you are coming, right?
Yes.
They're going to be there, right? Yes. When you talk to Adi, Adi took you in. You got to go, I think, what, a double, a room or two beds in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to have a good time. We'll hang out. We get it in the, you know, let's see. I think we should be, I think these guys aren't no joke. I think that this boxing team seems like to me that they're right on top. Hey, they got Jerry Cooney and Buddy McGritt as their coaches. I mean, how much better can you get than that, right?
Yeah.
So I saw that nice thing you did for us on the Battle of the Badges .info. I mean, when I saw that, I said, oh, dude, these guys aren't. When you get those two guys stepping up the way they have, in the name of amateur boxing, I think that's pretty special. So we're not going to take these guys lightly. So we'll see what happens. We get some, and then we actually hooked up with. Then the other thing is, we brought into the team. We reached into Connecticut to grab some of the Connecticut slave up from the Connecticut, from like more down in Bridgeport, the police department down there, and then we got up here in Jason Estrada's. Jason Estrada's son, Jason Estrada's brother, Roland Estrada, is making his first amateur debut. And you know who Jason Estrada is, the Olympian, back in, I think, 2008. Well, you know, and he's got a pretty good record. Jason and himself is really, he's tore up about, you know, 28 professional wins as a pro, and you know, I don't know if he's a ranked fighter. He should be if he isn't. But anyway, but they're all excited. So we're gonna have a lot of people coming in from the from law enforcement in Connecticut. So I mean, from Rhode Island as well so they're gonna be fighting for Team New England team and representing the Mass Correction Officers. So we got some good fights on here, and it looks like we got three women fight. I don't know if Tommy told you the breakdown of the matches, right? There's three women there, especially above some women there. We got a few master fighters, which is over 35 years old. Those should be exciting. And we got some real skilled fighters fighting like we did last year. We got 17 matches for this. I don't know if Tommy told you, we got 17 boxing matches for this show, and it's unbelievable. We could have had 30 fights on this time. That's how big it is.
You have 18.
We got 17. hopefully one draw. What did Tommy say, 18 now?
Yeah.
Who did he say? I hope he said 17. Oh, jeez. I hope it's not 18. That's way too many, you know. So, you know, we're gonna roll them out. I imagine Bob Krieger, he's running the media, so yeah, we're working with Bob over there. I guess he'll imagine you guys will do your judging. I get our own judges, you know, to do our fighter of the night and all that good stuff, most accomplished fighter or whatever we do, you know. So, and then after that. We're going to go and party down at the Comics Club. We get the modern-day Frank Sinatra playing down at the Comics after the I guess they call it the after party of the Battle of Badges. It's going to be at the Comics in Rhode Island. And we still plenty of, I just want to make your audience know there's still plenty of tickets available. You can go to foxwoods.com and order them that way. And you can go to, or you can call my cell phone. I mean, you can call online. 1-855-660-6606. That's 855-660-6606. That's a toll-free number. And please call in. There's plenty of tickets left. Make sure everybody tell all your friends. This is going to be a good night of fighting. It's good for a great cause. We're raising money for not only our care, youth development. We're raising money for the Suffolk County Correction Officers Association, and they do a lot of good things with their money. And we're also raising money for the Work Vessels for Veterans they're a Connecticut-based charity, but they're starting to get nationally ranked as a charity. So we're going to raise money for our veterans. Proceeds all the proceeds are going to charity. So it's going to be a Friday night. We got raffles. What else are we doing? We got all kinds of like things to get people, to help us raise the money and get to make an impact on our youth and our veterans. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be good. I think the outcome is going to be, this is probably the best one we've done financially as far as the overall net return. But anyway, I got to get into work. And once again, there's plenty of tickets available. And the number is 855-660-6606. Tickets are 30 for 30. Everything's reserved seating, so it's 30, 50, 75, and 100. So make sure you come out for a great cause. Plenty of tickets available, and I'm looking forward to seeing you, Rich and Tony. I wish you could be a part of this. Eventually, you're gonna get a breakaway like you did for the Rocky. You went off for the Rocky thing, and here I am. I'm trying to get you to come down, you know? So and maybe next year you'll make it a point to be a part, to come down with.
I'm not at the same company that I was last year where I could never get weekends off. I'm working a lot of weekends with a friend of mine.
Let's hope for God willing everybody stays healthy and alive. Let's see how it goes this year. We take it 1 year at a time, and there's next year. And we want to, we're just thankful that they caught those guys that bombing during the Boston Marathon, and a lot of the victims are now the people that get hurt now are starting to come around. And geez, let's say a special prayer for them. And let's hopefully that everything goes well for us. And you guys take care, and thanks for everything you've done for me, Rich. And you're always there. You've been a great friend. And I'm looking forward to buying you a beer. You can buy me a beer finally. All right, brother. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Make sure I think I shook your hand once last year. So I'm looking forward to seeing you. Okay, buddy? And Tony, you take care. Don't work too hard. I got to get into work. I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for what you've done for us, okay?
Thank you, dude.
Keep up the good work. Okay, thanks a million. All right, bye-bye.
Take it easy. There you have it, folks. There's the Dennis Maurice, and talkative as always there. He's a good salesman. And, it's one of the things that I like about Dennis is that he's always given other people credit before himself, and he does a lot of work and doesn't try to be front and center. Like tonight, he made sure he had two other people on that were involved that were on first before us and before him, and then, you know, of course he's on his way to work, just gives his quick piece and goes. So good guy all around, and he loves doing this type of stuff for good causes. So great stuff. And we only got about 5 more minutes left in the broadcast. I didn't get a chance to mention to Dennis, but I also noticed that a couple years ago, the main event of this fight, this card was featured a guy named Billy Traft, and he's since gone pro. So that gives you an idea of what kind of caliber of fighters end up in the show. It's not just guys that are just doing this for a hobby. Sometimes you get matchups with people that are that good that they end up going pro. So it's not your typical amateur fight, but it's also not not a fight circuit that has guys that aren't that great either. I mean, these guys are all working hard for this, and it's a good rivalry. And I think I'm going to have a great time there, like I always do. But that's about all I have. You guys got any other things to add before we sign out for the night?
If you have a limerick, you can get some watching Mother's Flower from.
All right. Where do you have to go for that?
Limerick, Pennsylvania. It's a suburb of Philadelphia.
Oh, all right. So you heard it, folks. Go get your Mother's Day flowers from Tony.
I'll have to send you guys the flyer I did for, you know, to promote it. I got a picture of Jason Voorhees from Friday the 13th and his hockey mask and everything, and he's hugging his mother. Most people remember was the original killer in the original Friday the 13th, and because he drowned. So he's hugging his mother. And then my tagline was, even Jason Voorhees knows to go to Mr. C's for the best selection of Mother's Day flowers. I'll email that to you guys.
Alright.
Well, that's about all I've got. I don't really have any fights to watch this weekend. I'm going to try to catch Friday night fights. I know I'll be asleep by that time.
Friday night fights on Thursday. I had no clue the next day that it was actually Friday and not Saturday.
Yeah.
They didn't change the name to Thursday night fights. They just had Friday night fights on Thursday. All right. Well, until next week, we will definitely have the jobs done.
All right, guys.
Good night.